This is a Spirit of Truth Radio Arts original program in partnership with Salt and Light Catholic Radio.
I honestly believe if you want to be a good writer, then you need to read great books. The same logic holds true if you want to be a good podcaster. You need to listen to great broadcasts. That's what I do. Whether I'm good at podcasting, that's up to you. But I begin my day with a local radio show from St. Gabriel Radio in Columbus, Ohio. Each morning, the hosts begin their show with prayer in the form of Lectio Divina, seeking first the kingdom of God before moving on to both interesting and important discussions with guests. Gets my day started right. Joining me along the way to discuss praying with the scriptures is the host of the St. Gabriel Cafe morning show, Dave Orsborne. Dave, welcome.
Great to be with you.
This is down the hall, Dave. Yeah, this is a familiar voice. This voice is the voice that I hear on my first stop across the country on great radio stations across great Catholic radio stations across the country. And it is Dave Orsborne, who is the host of the St. Gabriel Cafe, heard every Monday through Friday on St. Gabriel Radio in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome, my friend.
It's a joy to be with you. Thanks for having me. And I'm glad you make us a part of your morning.
I do. I enjoy it very much. I just want to get started by talking a little bit about how powerful a radio station St. Gabriel Radio is. I mean, you guys have a huge listener audience, which I think helps your Catholic Men's Conference and Women's Conference. You guys had, what, 2,500 people at your men's conference?
Yeah, between 2,200, 2,500. We have a joke here that the men always have one more attendee than the women did. So
That's odd, because it's usually the other way around everywhere else.
Well, actually, the women bring in probably between 2,700 and 3,000.
Wow.
COVID hit the men's hit both conferences, but hit the men's conference especially hard, because, to be honest, it's hard to get men to show up sometimes. Yeah. And it takes a lot of effort, a lot of hard work. And so I'm not on the leadership team of the men's conference anymore. I served for a number of years.
Yeah.
But it is something that goes on year round, working towards, putting the conference on. It's sure. A lot of work.
Sure. Full disclosure, I had the absolute pleasure of working with your boss, Bill Messerly, who called me up and asked me if I would do the voice work for the men's conference and the women's conference. And it was an absolute pleasure to work with Bill. He got me the scripts. I tried to get them back to him as quick as I could. What a gentleman he is. So, Bill, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Dave, you are the spiritual sensei of that spiritual dojo that is the St. Gabriel Cafe. You and Amanda and Cam, you guys do a fantastic job. The topics that you guys talk about are topics that Catholics really, really need to embrace. And it's not preachy at all. It's really just, it truly is like a cafe where you sit down, you have a great conversation with people from all around the Columbus area, but people that are really sharing their stories. How do you find these people?
A lot of hard work. Cam is an excellent producer. It takes hours and hours and hours to line up the show. And we meet every morning when we're done with the live show. And we think about the people that we want, the topics that we want to cover. And rather than doing three or maybe four segments like a lot of morning shows do, we try to have that cafe atmosphere where we sit down around the table. Mm-hmm. Literally, we are around the table and open up a conversation, typically with two guests. So there's four of us on microphone. Mm-hmm. And we just chat. You've probably noticed how the Holy Spirit really leads the conversations. We have some notes, but really the approach is out of one of curiosity. Mm-hmm. We're familiar with the subject. We have some questions in mind, but once the conversation starts going, it's just, yeah, we're sitting around having coffee together, literally mm-hmm. having coffee together, and just we're led by the spirit and a sense of curiosity, and it works.
Yeah.
And thank you. It really is. Some days when we get done with the show, we try not to grade them, mm-hmm. but at the end of some days, we're just rested, you know, and it's tough to be on the microphone. It's tough to keep the momentum of a show going and doing the resets and kind of the formatics and everything that you have to do with live radio. But when the conversation really starts going and the spirit comes, it's at the end, we're rested. And I think there's a piece there that says, hey, that was a good hour.
So. Yeah. I think you guys do a wonderful job of bringing topics in, because recently we talked a little bit about this, but recently you did a show that was about annulments, and, you know, a friend of mine was recently going through some questions about annulments, and I was able to send him that to that show. And then, you know, mentorship is such an important part of what I believe
right.
we as Catholics are called to do, is we're called to be mentors. And you guys did a great show on mentorship, and it's just a flood of great topics that you guys cover. But what I'm really impressed with,
thank you.
What I'm really truly impressed with is your show begins with Lexio Divina. Now, I have been involved. I know that you're a secular Franciscan. I was a lay Carmelite, and we would do the Lexio as part of our community prayer. And it seemed very, very cumbersome, but you guys do it as if it's, you know, like most people would do in Our Father. You know, you guys do it really, yeah. really well, and it's smooth. How do you come about doing that?
Through prayer, quite literally. My day typically starts at about 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
I'm sitting down in my prayer space by about 4:45 when the first pot of coffee's brewing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do the Liturgy of the Hours, spend some time in the day's scripture readings.
Yeah.
So a little bit of other spiritual reading. And then I go back. I've been working my way through the Word on Fire gospel. So then I spend some time on that portion of the gospel with Bishop Barron's commentary, which is outstanding.
Yeah.
So I have already read through the day's scripture once.
Yep.
Amanda, when she gets in a little, so I'm here at the studio typically by about 6:30 doing some show prep review.
Yeah.
And Amanda comes in, Cam comes in, and we individually have more individual prayer time. So when we're sitting down on air live, we've already been through the daily readings, but there is something about just being here and reading the passage together. Mm-hmm. And again, just inviting the spirit to inform us. I would also say when we first started talking about doing Lexio at the beginning of the show, it's so counterintuitive to how a lot of morning shows are actually formatted.
Yep.
Where, you know, it's push, 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 momentum, momentum, momentum. And we're actually starting our hour together with a pause.
Yeah, and, yeah, no, you're right. And, you're right.
And so I try to bring in, we all have a little bit of different styles on how we allow the spirit to move in us. My approach personally with Lexio, there's a great prayer from St. Francis of God, who are you and who am I? So I just look to see how God is revealing himself through Jesus Christ in that passage. Mm-hmm. What I'm learning about God's love or you know, the message that the Lord is speaking to me, and then what's my takeaway? What's he asking of me? What's my response to that?
Sure.
You know, Cam talks, he's really good about bringing in his own life experiences and how the gospel has impacted different aspects of his life. And Amanda has a beautiful spirituality also, and she has an awe, you know, and just a joy mm-hmm. of discovering the Lord.
Is she a revert or a convert?
No, I'm the only convert.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what was the tradition you came from?
I grew up Methodist.
Okay.
I grew up Methodist, went away to college. I joined, you guys would appreciate this, I joined the Church of Dave. kind of made my own rules and my own theology, and it ended up not growing beyond one Dave, and met my wife as a cradle Catholic, and just through her inspiration and the witness of her brother, who was a Catholic priest in the Chicago diocese, he just spent a lot of time with me. And he actually was at Mundelein Seminary under Bishop Barron. And it wasn't until I got to know Bishop Barron's approach to evangelization did I really realize this was Father Phil's approach with me.
Yep.
Through the transcendentals, the good, the true, and the beautiful, yep. and his patience, and just having conversations. We were both lovers of history and art and music, and through those conversations, he just revealed Jesus Christ to me in a way that it was obviously incredibly Catholic, mm-hmm. and I came to a point where I'm just like, I need to be on the inside. I can't be on the outside looking in. The Eucharist is real. I mean, this is the greatest gift, that the Lord has given to the church, and I have to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
This was right after I came into the church in 2003, and right in the midst of the priest abuse scandal out of Boston. And that actually, I mean, as awful and as ugly and tragic that was for everybody, in that humanness, I still saw so much truth and beauty, because I know we're all broken.
Right.
And God's faithfulness to his church, there was a confidence that I wasn't joining a bus where the wheels were coming off. It was the wheels are always coming off in someplace, somehow. And because we're human, and through grace and through Christ's promises to the church, everything will be okay.
Yeah. Well, Jesus did say that this is my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Dave, was it the good, the true, the beautiful that brought you to the Franciscan spirituality?
I've always been a bit of an all-in person.
Mm-hmm.
And always had a great love of the outdoors. So then it was kind of the birdbath Francis that I first noticed, and and the love of the outdoors and seeing God in all things, and the awe of creation.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I started going deeper into his life, it was he was an all-in type of guy, just radical. In his commitment to the gospel. And I'm like, you know, it wasn't too long after I came into the church where I really started falling in love with Francis. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, if I'm going to do this, if I'm really going to make this commitment at this point in my life, he's the model outside of Christ, of course, and Our Lady, mm-hmm. but just a great saint. Yeah. And to discover the mystical contemplative Francis was something that came later. And I think in a lot of ways that's been lost, not only in the Franciscans, but I think that's a real challenge for the church, is to rediscover, and as a Carmelite, right, to foster the interior life and to have that mystical union that through great grace is available to us. And Francis had that, and often it gets overlooked, but he would often go off for long retreats and that time of intense prayer that fueled all the other works that he's known for, the works of mercy and the love of the poor.
You're right. I do think that people do miss the Francis's spirituality, because, and this is what I love about Francis, is that he loved creation, but he loved the Creator more.
He didn't confuse the two.
No.
You know, sometimes we worship creation.
Sure, we sure do.
Kind of leave the Creator out of it.
Yep. So how does your Franciscan spirituality, how does that affect your prayer life?
I've had I guess as they would say online, a difficult relationship with the Liturgy of the Hours over the years. And I still do to a certain extent, praying the Psalms. Mm-hmm. But last year I had a wonderful resource that I went through psalm by psalm with some very good commentary. So I understood subtlety sometimes gets lost on me.
You want to get hit by the 2x4?
I want the obvious. Right. And, you know, in the poetry and the Psalms, and so a lot of the references to obviously to the typology of Jesus Christ and the Old Testament references. Once I started understanding that more and where the prayers of lament were coming from and the times, of praise, I could just enter into the Psalms as much more of as a prayer, mm-hmm. rather than just spending the 15, 20 minutes it takes to read through morning prayer. Mm-hmm. Actually spend more time praying the Psalms. And doing some lectio there with the Psalms too, repeating a passage and not being so quick to move on to the next one. And again, also these were prayers that Christ Himself prayed.
Yes.
So to try to have understanding of praying it. In the reality, Christ is there praying it with me, and we're praying the Psalms together. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that's helped me. The other is offering it up. It's second to the Mass. It's the universal prayer of the Church, the Liturgy of the Hours, and to offer like a prayer of lament that may not be my reality at the moment. Mm-hmm. To offer that as a prayer for somebody who is in that situation or isn't able to pray that way, but mm-hmm. to pray it on their behalf. So it's the Liturgy of the Hours and just a lot of time with Scripture. I'm try to make that, those two things, the foundation. I love to read. I do a lot of reading, and I actually, through spiritual direction, have been encouraged to dial back all of my outside reading a bit, mm-hmm. because I want to, in my journey, I can spend more time learning about God or learning about the faith rather than actually entering into that relationship or entering into the faith. And again, getting, just having that right order, has been a big help on my journey. Does that make sense?
No, it makes great sense. But is there a difference between praying the Psalms and praying with the scriptures?
Less and less for me. Because they're all the inspired word of God, right? And what I would do, and where I would read the Psalms or pray the Liturgy of the Hours the same way I would read a book.
Okay.
You know, I may pause on a passage that has some insights or I find interesting, but unless I really quiet myself and make it a prayer,
mm-hmm.
It's more of a checklist item, quite frankly.
Really?
And that's been a struggle of mine, is just slowing myself down and just enjoying the time with the Holy Spirit in prayer.
So what are some of the things, Dave, that you will do to take that long journey from the head to the heart?
Oh, boy. You've probably mentioned heard me mention my monkey mind. Have you ever heard of me?
Yeah, I have heard you mention that.
I haven't been diagnosed, but I have to have some ADHD. I have to. And in just mind all over the place, thoughts going everywhere.
Yep.
And, you know, the device doesn't help that. And I have to really consciously make an effort to disconnect and quiet myself. And for me in the morning, that means I don't pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it. It's in my pocket. It's not out on the desk or on the table in my prayer space. I can't have that distraction.
Mm-hmm.
I have to really still myself, and that gets harder and harder some days.
Sure.
When you have a whole to-do list in front of you and anxieties or fears and, you know, whatever. But to be in the present moment, and we've talked about this a lot on the cafe too, is the ministry of presence. And Practicing the Presence of God is one of my favorite books.
Mm.
And it's just having Jesus on my lips as much as I can during the day, just to keep me in his presence.
See, Dave, I talk about the wilderness of prayer, and you've mm-hmm. just described perfectly what the wilderness of prayer is. It's that wrestling, it's that walking through the vines of our mind, you know, the thorns of, you know, that prick us throughout the day. You know, that is the wilderness of prayer, and it's overcoming the distractions. You know, I've often, praying the rosary, been distracted and, you know, gone on five or six Hail Marys and realized I'm not even praying anymore. I'm thinking about what's going on. You can't beat yourself up about that, but you've got to kind of just return to walking with God in the cool of the day.
Well, and having that that understanding that in prayer you're literally, you know, that's a supernatural reality. God is present.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have a certain distraction that keeps on coming back to me, I just sit in it. If I can't shake it, I just sit there with it, with the Lord. And I'm like, are you speaking to me through this? You know, why am I troubled about this? What, you know, why am I anxious? Why am I worried? And then we just have a conversation around that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can shut up long enough and actually listen, then I may receive some answers. But
you have that problem too?
Yeah. God, I want to tell you about my day.
Yeah.
You know, and,
I was there. Remember? I was there.
Yeah. And then the Lord said, well, Dave, let me tell you about your day.
Yeah.
And what I would like you to try to do. So.
Mm-hmm. You struggle just like everybody else does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
because being a radio star is, you know, is not, you still suffer from the same things that, that everybody else does. So you understand.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And probably, well, yeah, I mean, you guys have experienced this too, Dave and Dave, that, that's a huge part of the journey. I mean, you're uncovering, especially when you get a bit older and you have some years behind you, there's so much to dig up and to bring in front of the Lord. And I want to spend eternity in front of the throne where I'm not as hung up on myself making that open, that happen, as I am to receiving God's grace and the promise of his mercy to bring me to the, throne.
Yeah.
And I don't beat myself up over it, but they're just being aware of my brokenness, the brokenness of people around me, and trying to be kind and compassionate and present and patient, all these things that I have to do a better job with. And I know that it's only through God's grace will I make any progress, and he'll take me as far as I'm willing to go with it.
Yeah.
And he's patient. So
have you ever experienced in your prayer life, this was very, very profound for me, but have you ever experienced, it's almost as if a veil is torn away, and there's just so much consolation in your prayer?
Oh boy. Yeah. Let me think of, lately, okay, back to the ministry of presence and the reality that God is always with us. You know, he's always the first mover. He's the one that moves to us.
Yeah.
And he's already there. It's not like I have to shoot him an email and invite him to join me, you know, at 8 o'clock or, he's already present. And it, just having that awareness, that acknowledgement that, that he's here with me, that the veil very often is lifted on a lot through memories also. I just turned 60 this year. And just different memories through from my life of seeing when I was away from God, how he has really protected me and loved me and has been so merciful with me. And just that gratitude. That's not terribly profound, but it's such a consolation through different dark times and times of confusion. It's like, I was right there with you.
Yeah.
And with that comes a confidence that he's not going to disappear.
You know? Right.
And that's the reality. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the temporal and the pull and the allure of sin or the world. And we forget that we're supernatural beings and help is only, you know, one prayer away. That awareness, that acknowledgement that that God is right there and he loves us. He is only wants our good because he is good. Mm-hmm. And just in having that, again, I'm simple. It, just having that awareness, that acknowledgement has meant so much to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I remember when I had my heart attack, I was in St. Francis Hospital in Hartford, Connecticut. And I asked the nurse to open up the curtains. And it was, I just looked out over the city. And the next morning, I couldn't pray any kind of, you know, formal rosary or, you know, Divine Mercy Chaplet or anything. So I just kept praying from my heart. And I woke up the next morning and what was right out, what was right outside my window was St. Joseph's Cathedral. And that building became a tabernacle for me. And I, like I said, I couldn't pray formal prayers, but I kept, God became my daddy then. And I told him how scared I was. I just had a moment of understanding. It, you know, there were no visions or visitations or anything, but it was just a grace that I think it was given to me. And that's really what prayer is opening us up to, is the graces that God has for us.
Amen. You had asked about, you know, the distance between the head and the heart, and the more that you're able to develop that interior life and just have, you know, Jesus, you know, Jesus, I trust in you.
Yep.
You know, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Mm-hmm. So just to have that, that shortens the distance between the head and the heart. And then it's almost, you know, when you reverse the flow, mm-hmm. I find things coming from the heart then into the head more, sure. You know, God, when some wisdom is revealed or an understanding is revealed, I'm not reading words on a page trying to get it to the heart. I'm have those words on the page in my heart and spending that time asking the Lord, you know, who are you in this? And what are you trying to say to me? It goes from the heart into the head.
Yeah.
Slow
down with the words of the prayers too. That's another great way to really take them to heart, you know, like Hail Mary, you know. Hey, you know who has a really great prayer life is my good friend, Deacon Dave Imhoff. Deacon, do you have anything you want to ask?
I do, and I don't want to disrupt the conversation line that we've been having. But in the beginning, Dave, you mentioned about, we were talking about the Catholic Men's Conference and the Women's Conference,
yeah.
and you know, all the hard work it takes to, you know, to get people to come. And could you just hit on a few points of what types of things you do to get men and women to go to these type of events? Because we, you know, I know that's one of the things in my ministries that I do is I try to get people to come to different events and stuff and have mixed results. But I'm just curious if what kind of things you would do so that maybe you can steal shamelessly. And
absolutely. You
know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, so this year was the 27th annual men's conference, and it's really, you know, subsidiarity, working in the family. So get grandfathers, fathers, sons to come together, then friends in the parish, people you know, your brothers in the pews, and then workplace. And it's being bold. Very simply, it's being bold in the invitation and sharing and being a witness. You know, this is something that I do every year. It's a great day of fellowship, and it would mean a lot if you came with me. You know, I'd like you to experience it yourself. Yeah. Leave it there. And sometimes we try to oversell things. You know, you're going to be blown away by the Eucharistic procession, or, you know, there's 60 priests hearing confession. Some guys that might resonate with, but, you know, sow the seed and then let, have trust in the Spirit to convict the person that you're inviting. And, you know, we hear stories all the time where a guy had been invited by a number of different guys over a number of years before he finally says yes, but it was a perseverance, guys continuing, or the wives saying, honey, I think you should go to this conference. It's a variety of things, but it's just that persistence and a boldness to want to share something that's really good.
Yeah, I call that like a personal invitation, a personal witness, you know. And we do that, I think, to get 2,500. You say 2,500 or 25,000?
Yeah, about 2,500. Oh, 25,000 would be awesome.
Okay,
we have
a
facility for that.
Yeah, different but facility. What are magnitude different?
The horse, 2,500, the horse
you need a you need like an army to be. You need an army of guys, and gals, with these invitations, which is why we just need to do more of what we have been doing. So, thanks
well,
for
and with St. Gabriel Radio too. Our role is to be the microphone to to be the loudspeaker, getting the word out, and we do have a good signal. We have a Tom Price at EWTN calls us the blowtorch. So we do cover, we operate three stations now that cover most of Ohio. And so we get the word out there, and it's that frequency. And we may be tired of it, thinking we're overplaying it, but it's that one person that hops in the car that day who's never listened to it before, mm-hmm. and they hear the message. And we hear those stories all the time. So,
you guys had had a great lineup too this year. Chris Stefanik.
Yeah, Chris Stefanik was back.
Father.
Who really? Burke Masters.
Yeah, he's good.
The chaplain from the Cubs, and a guy named John Edwards, actually.
Yeah.
Who surprised a lot of folks because they weren't familiar with his story. And now he's actually coming back into town. He has a model for men's ministry, which
and does a great job,
which the leadership is going to adopt. It's we've never treated either conference as the ministry in its totality. It's always been a launching pad into fellowship and small groups and spiritual friendships.
That's
right. So it's never been a end all and be all. It's a launching pad into more.
That's where I think a lot of men's conferences go wrong is, they think it's one and done when it's not. That should be the stepping stone to much more. Because you have mm-hmm. to keep this thing going throughout the year, or else you're just going to see the same guys. There's not going to be any momentum. You start building that momentum throughout the year, you'll get guys coming to the men's conference that weren't there last year because these mm-hmm. guys are on fire and they're picking people up along the way. Your thoughts?
Along the way.
A shameless plug.
Yeah, there you go. Not every gathering or event has to be a Bible study or apologetics or how to grow as disciples, getting together around the bonfire or, a keg and watching the game with good friends.
I know my buddy Bear Wozniak is, I think it's this weekend. It's coming up. He's got something coming up down in Florida where a bunch of guys are getting together. They're going to be having cigars and bourbon on the beach, and that's Bear. So those are the kind of things that build camaraderie.
And that's one of the things why we've been talking about doing the St. Gabriel Cafe for a number of years. I mean, we've played around with different ideas and talked to a lot of people and finally decided to get it going last July because there's an urgency. We see a lot of it's cultural, but then also coming out of COVID with the isolation and the loneliness mm-hmm. and the false notion of what friendship is. Mm-hmm. And so many you treat virtual friends like the same as actual personal relationships, and it has its place, of course. I mean, it's a digital world, but boy, it's gained a preeminence that is tearing us apart.
Yeah.
You say stuff to other people online that you would never, ever say to their face.
Right.
You, for a number of reasons. I mean, just basic decency. So what we wanted to do in the cafe is bring a sense of people living the faith with other people, you know, either in marriages or families or an apostolate or in ministry and business. We have to be bold if we are going to really truly be missionary disciples, which is used a lot. But if we're going to live the Christian life, we have to make the investment in friendship and in relationships.
That you just said a really, really important word, and that is, I think, really, really important for evangelization is friendships. We got to be friends with these people before we can, you know, tell them how they should be living their lives. We've got to really honestly care about these people. And it comes through the airwaves on St. Gabriel, and especially the St. Gabriel Cafe. It really does.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen other radio shows, and I'm not taking away from any of them, but they come off a little too manly, a little too masculine, a little, you know, the it's all men. And, you know, my friend Brian Howell and Hope Ryan, I'm more friendly with Brian than I am with Hope, but they have a really nice blend of manly masculinity and femininity. You know, they and you guys have the same thing with you, Amanda, and Cam. You guys just work really, really well. Your topics are something that really are pertinent to today. You know, and you guys just do a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, we did. You hear our show on mindfulness this week?
I heard that. Yes, I did. That was amazing. Yeah. That was amazing. And you know what? Catholic lens. That was the key thing for me, was that you looked at that through a Catholic lens. And there's a lot of things. My friend Pat King and I just did a show that's going to be coming up on Salt and Light, but it's Roosevelt's Man in the Arena through a Catholic lens.
These are the conversations that we have to engage in. In evangelization, we can't shy away. Yeah, I mean, over 50,000 search results when you look up mindfulness on Amazon, and obviously it's a thing, and a lot of it's warped, pagan, demonic. I mean, it runs the spectrum,
sure.
But we can't run away from it. Let's look at this topic of living in the presence of God, being present, being mindful. The way a Catholic would live it, and have that discussion with people, and we have the truth, right? Yep. And pray for the words and the a way to articulate it. But
we've got 2,000. We've also got over 2,000 years of tradition in our favor. You know, living in the present moment. You know, when we get into the past, we get really depressed. When we get into the future, we get anxious. You know,
right?
So, living in the present moment, I know my own self. When I start thinking about the things I've done in the past, I get really depressed, and I get really, really anxious about, you know, what the future could bring. It's when I come back to what I'm grateful for. And I think that was a word that you guys had brought up, was gratitude, how important gratitude was in that mindfulness.
All of our hearts are yearning for relationship.
Yep.
And that most important relationship is with our Creator, with you know, our God, you know, and our Savior.
Right.
And having those friendships, having those relationships, and having the respect for the other person's dignity, and celebrate that they're seeking, celebrate that they're looking for love, looking for you know, good relationships, for you know, whatever form they take, but show them the right way to do it. and have that, you know, personal witness of, yeah, you know, I've struggled with X, you know, I've been broken by Y, and, you know, this is my story. You can't argue with my personal experience. I've had this grace. I have this relationship with God, and I want you to have the same thing. And, you know, I invite you to, you know, have that conversation. If they're not interested, then maybe they'll be open to the next person that wants to talk to them, but there needs to be a next person. You know, you know, I can't be the only Christian that they encounter that day. You know, mm-hmm. if they see me at the gas station, they need to run into you at the grocery store. Yep. And,
I think when you guys were talking about mentorship, one of the things that came up that was really, really, it really struck a chord with me was not making that person the way you want them, but the way God wants them. And you know, that brought me back to a prayer that I had. I used to work with a guy who was so, so hard to work with. And I just remember walking up this steep hill and he was complaining. And you know, I'm a land surveyor by trade. And we were walking up this hill and he was complaining and, you know, just swearing. And I said a prayer for him. I said, God, not as I would have him, but as you would have him. And it was like, that is really the essence of good mentoring, is not as I would have you, but as God wants you. And I want to be that tool that helps you along the way. And there's that other shameless plug for Deacon Dave. but
that's a nice reset you're listening to.
but no, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you guys talk about on the cafe. That's really is so important that we talk about.
And we're blessed by having microphones that, you know, really just take conversations that, you know, we have a great team. I mean, we really enjoy each other's company. We work well together.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have these conversations as much off air as we do on air. And then for an hour each morning,
yeah,
we actually turn the microphones on and, you know, let other people in on them.
So yeah. none of you guys are trained broadcast professionals, right? I mean, you've been doing it for 15 years. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's truly amazing.
Yeah, mostly production and behind the scenes. And we've always, St. Gabriel, as I mentioned earlier, maybe it was off air before we began, we've always had commitment to local programming.
Yeah.
And so currently we're producing 12 local programs. So mm-hmm. that's always been a big part of my job is producing and, mm-hmm. And doing some mentoring and some coaching, listening to the shows, you know, as a consumer, you know, this is what I think would interest me. And let's try to, you know, focus in on this point. And that's experience that helps me now that I'm actually doing it mm-hmm. on air, you know, live, that I try to think of what our listeners would be interested in and you know, what the Spirit wants to say to them. And, you know, he's usually right. So. Yeah.
But see, it's like I always say, Dave, some of the greatest stories you'll ever heard are some quiet guy in a pew. It's not the big name stars of, you know, of Catholicism. There's a guy out there that's got an absolutely amazing story. And when you can bring those people in and tell the story, man, you've got good radio.
Yeah. And these, some of the stories that we've done with married couples, are just, yeah, those people next to you in the pew.
Yep.
And what's different is they're willing to go live on the radio.
Yep.
And talk honestly about their lives together, you know. And obviously, I mean, not sharing everything, but
right.
Just having, you know, an honest conversation that. I think I know that the Lord uses, you know, we hear it, just that one sentence that was said, brought so much consolation, sure, or so some hope or some peace into somebody else's life, because it's a human experience, and these are all things that we all feel. And if we got to know each other better, I think we'd have a lot of shared experiences that just through friendship we would bless each other with. And that's what we hope that these conversations do.
Well, when you go on retreat, you'll hear a story from somebody that's experienced something that you have. So yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. Dave, you've been up since 4:30 this morning. I know you're getting tired, buddy. I want to thank you so much for coming and joining us here on Along the Way. If anybody really is looking for a great show to get their morning started, please go to St. Gabriel Radio. You can get it on the St. Gabriel Radio app. That's how I listen every morning.
Thank you.
8 o'clock Eastern.
Love the app.
8 o'clock Eastern time here and on the East Coast. You guys start at 7 Central time, right?
Well, we're Eastern time.
Oh, you are Eastern time. Yeah. Okay, so 8 o'clock
Eastern
time.
Yeah, so we're at 8 o'clock. Yep.
All right, so.
But it's always on demand through our app, St. Gabriel Radio app, or online at stgabrielradio.com.
Sounds great, man. So please pass on my sincere thanks to Amanda and to Cam and also to Bill Messerly.
I'll let them know.
And that I'm listening. So Deacon Dave, will you mind taking us out with a prayer and a blessing?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God's blessing come down on you and remain with you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Deacon. And for my guest, Dave Osborne, my producer, Deacon Dave Imhoff, I'm Down the Hall Dave, always praying that your troubles be less, your blessings be more, and nothing but happiness come through your door. We'll see you next time.